The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9? Where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Grace and peace to each of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I really struggled with today's gospel, especially the last line. I don't consider my sermon the last word, but as an opportunity to think more deeply about what Jesus is saying, I invite you to talk about this with me if the issue strikes you personally. And I say at the outset that this sermon is preached not just by your rabbi, but as your pastor. I also invite those of you who have parents of reading age to take kids' notes. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells a leper that his faith has made him well. What happens, however, when our faith does not make us well? Is our faith somehow defective? Is it our fault? Listen closely as we consider what Jesus might actually be saying when he commends the leper for his faith. When Charlotte was 50, she was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's disease. According to her daughter, Jacqueline, whose article, "Meeting God in Grief and Hope," appears in this month's Gather magazine, watching her mother's decline over the next 16 years was like watching a train travel a millimeter a day. Some of you personally know what this is like, accompanying a loved one as she or he struggles in the face of a terminal illness or disease. What made matters worse, says Jacqueline, were the cliches she heard from well-meaning Christians up to and after her mother's death in 2007. "During my mother's long illness," she writes, "I grew dissatisfied with the cliche culture that surrounds much of Christianity. While my mother was dying, well-intentioned folks uttered adages like, 'It's all part of God's plan,' and 'Everything happens for a reason.' When she finally died, they said things such as, 'She's in a better place,' or 'God needed another angel.' These grief cliches," she concludes, "made me feel farther from God than ever." You can imagine why. What kind of God would give someone Alzheimer's disease at 50 to add another angel to his ranks? Is this the God of Jesus Christ, the God of love, who makes his kingdom manifest through acts of healing, who promises in Isaiah and the book of Revelation to wipe away every tear, the God whose enemy, according to the Apostle Paul, is death? I suspect we can add another cliche to Jacqueline's list, one we sometimes say and often hear in the face of debilitating illness and chronic pain. You have to have faith. You have to have faith. Isn't this, after all, what cured the leper in today's gospel? Faith? Jesus says, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." In more secular language, it's as if Jesus is saying, just be positive. If you believe you are going to be cured, you will more likely be cured. Such is the power of positive thinking. If you set your mind to it, if you believe, whether it's in God or your own potential, you will achieve. But what happens when your attitude or your faith does not cure you? Is your faith somehow defective? Are you at fault? When I was a child, I had a serious disease that would have easily meant my death without the help of modern medicine. It was asthma, and because of it, my parents would often find themselves rushing me to the emergency room at the nearest major hospital, 20 miles away. I remember one afternoon after school, when I was 7 or 8 years old, my parents were not yet home. I went straight from the school bus to my father's recliner, shoulders raised high, barely able to breathe. I pleaded quietly, "Why, God? Why? What had I done? Why did I have to struggle for each breath? I believed in God. I went to church and sang in the children's choir. My faith, moreover, was never in question. It was the unbounded faith of a child, the kind Jesus himself praises in the Gospel of Matthew. Yet there I was, gasping for each breath, fighting for air. So how, I wonder now as a man, do we make sense of Jesus in today's gospel when our own faith does not cure us? When our own faith does not cure us, when we remain sick, or when, like Charlotte, we watch as a debilitating disease ravages not only our body, but also our mind, robbing us of who we are. It seems, I think, we have three options for answering this question. We can dismiss Jesus's teaching as inconsistent with our experience. Charlotte, after all, died after battling Alzheimer's disease for 16 years. She was presumably a person of faith, and her faith obviously did not cure her. So, Jesus was wrong. That's one possibility. We can, secondly, blame the victims of disease for having weak faith. My childhood asthma, for example, was not cured because as a 7-year-old, I lacked faith. A third option, and this is the approach I strongly favor, involves going back to the text and asking, when Jesus says, your faith has made you well, what does this mean? Let's take a closer look then at the gospel for today and see if we can decipher what Jesus might actually be saying when he praises the leper for his faith and tells him that his faith has made him well. I invite you, if you wish, to look with me at verses 12 and 13 of the gospel reading. According to verses 12 and 13, 10 lepers approach Jesus, but keep their distance. They do this because, according to Jewish law, lepers were unclean. Whoever is unclean, that is, people who have visible symptoms of disease or physical deformities, must be kept away from the assembly and certainly kept away from the temple where the priests would have been. These lepers ask Jesus to have mercy on them. The text says absolutely nothing about their faith. They simply make a request. The text likewise says nothing about how Jesus cures them. He merely says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," implying that they have been cured and thus made clean. Notice here what's happening. The point of the story is not that they were cured, say, of psoriasis, a skin disease. Luke doesn't even waste a single sentence on how they were cured. The story rather offers a fascinating example of how Jesus is manifesting God's kingdom. He's reintegrating the outcasts of his time back into community. This is precisely what the prophet Isaiah envisions as the inbreaking of what Paul Tillich would call a new reality or a new creation on the part of God, something we do whenever we welcome the stranger, the immigrant, or the outcast. Jesus is inaugurating precisely what Isaiah prophesied, which is why he says in a few verses beyond our gospel reading for today that the kingdom of God is among us. He's making it real by integrating what he elsewhere calls the least of these back into society. Such is the kingdom. But there is more to the story than Jesus manifesting the kingdom of God by reintegrating people who had been cast out and estranged. Jesus praises the Samaritan, the outsider, the immigrant equivalent of his day, for returning to him. He says his faith has made him well in verse 19, which is strange, because the leper was already healed, according to verse 15. Look at the verse. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. Do you see here what is happening? The leper was already cured of his disease. So in verse 19, when Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well," or closer to the original Greek, "Your faith has delivered you," he's talking about what the leper did after he was cured. After he was cured. And what did he do? He turned back and acknowledged what has been done for him. And that acknowledgement, that gratitude, that is where the true healing occurs, the spiritual healing, as it were, beneath the leper's skin. Jesus praises him, therefore, not for asking to be cured, but for acknowledging him afterward in gratitude. What we discover, in short, is that the leper's faith, listen to this very closely, did not cure him of a physical disease. The faith that delivered him was the kind that enabled him to recognize the source and center of his life was outside himself. He was humbled. That, at its deepest level, is the healing that occurs in this story. This is genuine, healthy humility that says, "You are not the center of everything," the kind that delivers us from entitlement and draws us out of ourselves. The fact that Jesus uses a different Greek word in the last verse than the one he uses for healing in verse 15 illustrates a distinction almost lost to us entirely in the English language. There is a difference, we might say, between being cured of a disease and being made whole. Between being cured of a disease and being made whole. And while we should hope and work toward the former with our doctors, it is the latter that Jesus praises in today's gospel. I suspect many of you already know the difference. The kind of healing you experience at the communion rail is different than the physical cure you seek at a doctor's office. Or to put it another way, a person can be sick in body, but sound in soul, or sound in soul, but sick in body. In today's gospel, 10 lepers are cured of a disease, but only one leper is truly healed, delivered, and made whole. His delivery occurs when he turns to acknowledge Jesus and praise God. But what about the rest of us? Those of us who are not cured. Those of us like Charlotte, who travel a millimeter a day toward our physical or mental demise. What about those of us who care for the Charlottes of this world? Can all of us be delivered or healed without being cured? This is a really hard question for me to answer. And only Jacqueline could tell us if she saw glimpses of it in her mother, Charlotte. But take these words to heart. When asked about salvation, which in Latin means healing, Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 19 that with God, all things are possible. God's plan is not, assuming his will is made known to us in Jesus Christ, afflicting people with Alzheimer's or asthma to increase the ranks of his angels. Nor is it for lack of faith that our diseases sometimes go uncured. No. God's will is life. And sometimes life can break through even the worst of our physical ailments and make us well, even if we are not cured. May we find such moments of healing, especially in the face of debilitating physical and mental disease. And may we have the faith to be delivered as the leper was. Amen.